Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. I want to talk to you today about the power of the resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word, and Lord, we just pray that for such a time as this, that you would watch over your word to perform it this morning. Lord, put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you've ordained for me to speak this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all of it to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. I got something from one of our parishioners this week. They're always sending me, people send me things all the time, memes, you know. And I got a meme with the image of a tomb hewn out of stone and a stone that had been rolled away. And it said, "Lockdowns don't work." Don't work. They haven't worked ever since Jesus came out of the tomb that they sealed and put guards stationed outside of it to make sure that they would never see him again. Well, this phrase has been used in movies over the years, different ones. It says, "I'm back." And Jesus was the first one to coin that phrase as well, I believe. Bottom line is, there is power related to the resurrection that goes way beyond Christ coming out of the tomb. That was awesome. Because that was where salvation was finally, totally, and completely purchased for us. If Christ had died for us, but not risen, it would have come to nothing. If he was still in the tomb, it would have come to nothing. But he came out of the tomb, victorious, over death. And that's why we're gathered here today, because we have hope in the fact that Jesus Christ has conquered death for all time, and we have that hope. Just like his tomb could not contain him, the grave that we lay in will not contain us either. One day, the graves will open of the dead in Christ when Christ appears in the eastern sky, when he returns to rapture his bride. We're talking the power of the resurrection. I changed my message this morning a little bit. I thought I was pretty much settled on what I was going to do, but guess what? This message is going to end up being extended. We're going to have to do the second part next week. So every one of you's got to come back next week. I'm working it. So anyway, what happened was, early in the morning, there's a blog that I check fairly regularly. This person does not blog every day by any means. But his name is Evangelist Mario Murillo. How many of you know that name? Well, I was moved to go to his blog and see if he'd put a new blog up, and guess what? In the wee hours of the morning, that thing had just been posted, and I read it, and it seriously impacted me. And I felt led to print that when I got here to the church today. And if you will bear with me, I'm going to read what Mario Murillo put in his blog this morning, in the wee hours of the morning. He's entitled it, "Easter Roars Over a Devastated America." Remember the power of the resurrection. The Easter morning sun rises on a devastated nation. The day that carries the best message mankind has ever heard is greeted by the scenes of chaos. Easter sees the cruel hand of government breaking the heart of patrons. Resurrection morning arrives to see America praising porn and even Disney parading perversion. Easter 2022 witnesses America digging up her heroes from the very moral bottom of society, stifling truth yet imposing lies on children. The morning sun finds mothers crying and the souls of the free and the brave sitting among the ashes in the prison yard of a woke penitentiary. In a prior blog, we investigated Mary Magdalene on the day Jesus died. Then we relived Peter's agony on the day after Jesus died. Now we get personal. We will talk about you on this Easter Sunday morning in 2022. You are trying to love God, raise your children, and eke out a life in this American Armageddon. And now the enemies of God have turned their weapons upon the church. They are hell-bent on driving Christianity out of our nation. So Easter stands up and boldly reminds you, this is nothing new. It was like this the first Easter. I know you cannot imagine America coming back from this, but Easter can. I know you cannot see a way for freedom, decency, justice, truth, and love to pour down our streets like a river, but I can. The first time was total blackness and despair. Even those closest to Jesus could not imagine how resurrection power was about to turn the tables, flip the script, and deliver the blow to the evil. Easter in 2022 is neither apologetic nor soft. Easter is acting like a general insulting and instilling courage into an army. Easter roars, "We have the proof, and that's all that matters." Easter is grabbing preachers by their lapels and shouting, "Don't you dare apologize. I said we have the proof. And the proof is all that matters." Easter is not an inspirational analog. It is an anecdote to be preached in a wispy voice, reminding us the long winter will eventually give way to spring. That's like talking about the atomic bomb as if it were a disposable lighter. Today, our programs do not make Easter better. The world can get better entertainment in many other places, under many other banners. The idea that organizational hype or stage dazzle can improve the resurrection is pure foolishness. Easter is not polite It is fire. It is not about bunnies or eggs and has no place among other harmless religious holidays. On this day of all days, Easter demands we remember what separates the claims of Jesus from all other religions on earth. The difference is laid out in Acts 17, verse 31. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. The difference is that he has given proof. The resurrection of Jesus is an imposing, unmatched event. It didn't just happen. It is happening now. Its evidence won't go away. Its power never dissipated. Its blast radius has yet to be measured. Opposition only increases its power. The more man tries to bury the news of the resurrection, the more it spreads. Just when the enemies of the cross feel secure in debunking Easter, some new wrinkle is found that pushes atheism back to square one. The resurrection rips away your excuses. God has set a day of judgment, a day where everyone reading this, yea, every descendant of Adam, will stand before God to be judged, and he will do it with justice. Do it with justice to justify such a day, God would first commit an act so undeniable it destroys every excuse for rejecting Christ. Gospel preachers should never apologize at Easter. They should proclaim. The proof demands it. It calls for all who hear to repent on the spot. There is nothing to mull over or go home and think about. The difference is the proof, and the proof is the difference. That proof is why we know the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The proof is why we raise our heads, because our redemption draws nigh. And because he has risen indeed, that proof is about to be seen as we cast off the lies and the threats and take up the weapons of God and proclaim and reclaim our nation. That was worth it, wasn't it? Like I said, it impacted me in the wee hours of the morning. There are too many people I'm seeing that, pastors included, pastors have started apologizing. Pastors that took a stand months ago or even a couple of years ago, but have now, because it's gone so long, have apologized for the stand that they had taken. Well, this preacher is not going to apologize, because what I spoke a couple of years ago and have been speaking ever since is going to take place in God's time, because God is not going to let the devil kill the church in the United States of America. Because there was and still is resurrection power that is coming from the throne of the living God. Satan and all the evil people on the earth at the time thought they had won when they killed Jesus. But what they didn't realize is they had just lost. Likewise, today, on this Easter Sunday in 2022, there are evil people all over this world and all over this nation that have thought, they think they have won. Because it's in the physical, it's past the tipping point, guys.
That's right.
But God. Amen. But God. Never count out God. He's got this. He's got it well in hand. So, in verse 10 of our text, it says, was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others of them told the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. We are living that today. There are many people that profess Christ, but yet are saying, oh no, You're wrong. That sounds like nonsense. This thing is going to play out the way it is. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Satan is not going to have this nation right now. You know why? Because they began their play too early. We all know, if you know Scripture, that one day, the global agenda is going to happen. But it's too early right now. There's got to be one more great outpouring. And that's what we're waiting for, guys. That's what I'm looking forward to. What I want to see is churches full like this every weekend. I want to see standing room only. How many of you will be willing to give up your seat if the church gets so full we don't have enough chairs and stand in the windowsill? Amen. Me too. I'm standing anyway. Because God is not done yet. And when we depend on Christ and we realize the fact that resurrection power is still taking place. Resurrection power is going to happen when Christ returns and the graves of the dead in Christ open and we rise to meet Him in the air. It says all this in Scripture, guys. Resurrection power. Isn't it interesting? Even the ones that walked with Jesus, literally lived with Him, hung out with Him constant, okay, 24/7, for roughly 3.5 years, when the women came back, went, "That sounds like nonsense." Well, Jesus came out the tomb.
Amen.
He's not done with the United States of America yet. There's a lot we don't know. There's a lot we don't understand. There's a lot of things that have been happening for a long time behind closed doors. There's backslapping by evil people rejoicing because they think they have won. Just like Satan was backslapping with the demons and shrieking with evil shrieks when Jesus took His last breath because they thought they had won. Oh, were they disappointed when that tomb opened. So Jesus rose from the grave victorious over death. And Jesus now holds the keys to hell and death. Jesus holds the keys to hell and death.
Amen.
Not Satan.
Amen. That's
right. Satan is not in charge of death. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John 10:10, right? But Jesus said, but, I love it when there's but I have come to give life to the full, or life more abundant, whatever translation you're reading. But Jesus. So we don't give up hope as believers. Never will I give up because I got a word from God and I will hold on to that forever. For as long as it takes. And I keep trying to encourage you, hang on a little bit longer. I know in the physical it sounds like nonsense, but it's not. Revelation 1 and verse 18 says, "I am the living one." This is Jesus speaking. "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." There it is, right out of the Word of God. He holds the keys of death and Hades. Jesus also holds the keys to the kingdom and offers to give them to us as believers. Would you look at Matthew chapter 16 with me? Verses 13 through 19 of Matthew chapter 16. Beginning to read in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Listen, guys, we have got to get to the place. The body of Christ has got to rise up and realize the power source that we have in Christ. We have got to rise up and realize that we have way more authority over the things that happen in this earth because of the fact that Jesus Christ came out of the grave. And then ascended on high. And then the Father sent the Holy Spirit to us. Okay? I echo those words that Jesus asked when he said, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They were honest. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then Jesus cuts right to the heart of it. Right to the heart. And I want to cut right to the heart of it today. Who do you say he is? Who do you say Jesus is? Because, see, for you to answer that, you're going to have to speak out of either the revelation you have of Christ or the lack thereof. Jesus Christ is our all in all. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Is he that to you? And is he all powerful in your life? Is he just Savior, or have you allowed him lordship of your life? Who do you say he is? See, my response to that today is, he is my Lord and Savior. He is my only hope in life and in death. That's my answer. Because I know me, and I can't be good enough. That's why we needed Jesus. That's why we needed resurrection power. Because you or I can't be good enough. Not on our own merit. But when we receive Christ, when we admit we're a sinner and repent of our sins, and invite him to come in and take over our lives, in other words, lordship, come in and be my Lord and Savior. My Lord and my Savior. That is not preached enough today. Neither is repentance. If there is no repentance, there is no salvation. Repentance is that important. You can talk about the love of God all you want to, all the way through the gates of hell. But if there is no repentance in your life and He is not Lord of your life, you're not saved. And we got to get it straight before our life is required of us. We never know when our life is required of us. God help us if we leave here today and haven't asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Because we don't know what happens 5 minutes from when we leave here. We don't even know what's going to happen before we leave here. Believe it or not, there are people that drop dead in church. I'm serious. I knew a pastor that did. Years ago. He keeled over in the pulpit. That was pretty tough on the church. The first church I pastored out in Comanche, First Baptist Comanche. Roy Mooney went to his son's for breakfast. He went to church for Sunday school. And he went to church service. And a few minutes after he got in the church service and the church service started, somebody that was sitting next to him thought he fell asleep, so they bumped him with their elbow and he tipped over. He was sitting there dead. So what I'm telling you is he was, that morning, he went to his son's for breakfast. He went to Sunday school at church. He went to church and then went to heaven. He had a very full filling morning. See, it's hard to be sad about that. Obviously, the loved ones, his family, yes, they miss him. But I want to tell you something. That's like going to a graduation. I want to tell you something. That's good news when people are going to Jesus. He was getting old and full of years. Hallelujah. He had survived a massive stroke years earlier. And he had buried his wife who died of bone cancer. I ministered to her through that whole process. But that day, the Lord decided it was time to take him home. When is the Lord taking you home? Do you know? I don't know either. I'm just trying to challenge you because it is so important that we have ourselves prepared. We have got to be right with God. Praise God that He provided the way when there was no way. Praise God that there is an empty tomb because Jesus rose from the dead just like He said He would. I rejoice in that. I love Resurrection Day. It's my favorite holiday of the year ever since I gave my life to Christ. Absolutely, hands down, my favorite holiday of the year because of what we celebrate. Jesus has the keys to death and Hades. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Check this out now. Think about this for a minute. This is what He gives us as a result of resurrection power. Okay? I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now check this out. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Guys, it is important what comes out our mouths. What we speak out of our mouths is very, very important. We need to be careful what we speak. Jesus said also, there is the power of life and death in the tongue. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe Jesus? So when we speak curses over someone, those things can come to pass. We can even speak curses over ourselves. I've done it before I knew any better. I've done it. Such things as, man, this is just never going to get better. Well, you just prophesied the future. Are you listening to me today? Our children. What about when we're talking about our children and we're frustrated and we say something like, they're just never going to get beyond this. You just prophesied a curse over your child. Am I making sense? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. We need to start exercising the power we have in binding the works of the enemy and loosing the power of God and calling forth His angels to war on our behalf. Now don't get too whacked out on angels. That went kind of crazy a few years ago. Not in this church, but I mean, how many of you know what I'm talking about? People get whacked out on angels. You don't ever worship an angel. Let me suffice to say that. One more point, and then we're going to quit. And I'm planning to finish, Lord willing, finish this message next Sunday, and you're all welcome back. Jesus bruised the serpent's head with his heel. Genesis 3 and verse 15. Genesis 3 and verse 15. God said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush or strike your head." He's speaking to the serpent. "And you will strike his heel." One of the things that Jesus did was he took the keys back from Satan. He went into the bowels of hell while his body lay in the tomb. He went into the bowels of hell and took the keys of hell and death back from Satan. See, he had that power because Adam and Eve, when they sinned, had given that power to Satan. They had given him license, if you want to use that terminology. That's actually accurate terminology. Satan can only operate in and do things that he has license to do or permission to do. The things we do that are opposite of what God have us do is what opens portals into our lives for Satan to work havoc in our lives. Am I making sense? When Adam and Eve sinned, God put enmity between the woman and her offspring and the serpent. When Jesus took those keys, he made a deposit on Satan's head. And then as he was walking away with the keys, he turned around and said, "I'll be back." See, Schwarzenegger didn't hit the first phrase. He don't own that. So, Jesus rose from the grave victorious over death and has provided a whole lot more power to his believers than we exercise most of the time. He's coming back for a bride that is powerful. We need to start operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we really start operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will see victories in our lives. We'll see victories in the world. We'll see victories in this nation. But we have got to assert the power that's available to us to overcome sin in our lives. And you know what I'm talking about, the habitual stuff. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Our thoughts sin against us sometimes. That's why we're told to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Right? Did you get something out of this morning? Have you got hope? Now, are you guys going to be lean, mean, fighting machines when you leave here today? Hallelujah. Yeah, let's stand together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next week.